Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition of TNJ Radio. I'm in the building with my main man, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent, bro. Good afternoon, kings and queens. I hope everybody's having a great week. It's beautiful out here. I hope everyone is doing well.
Absolutely. And this show today that we're doing is going to be completely different from what we've done in the past. As you know, TNJ Radio is solution-based radio, so we always talk about solutions, but we usually say the solutions for the end of the show traditionally. But today, we really wanted to do something different and base the whole show on solutions, because sometimes we can go through, you know, the whole show and talk about problems and then spend, you know, about 4 or 5 minutes discussing the solutions. And so what we wanted to do today was really focus primarily on solutions, and I think that's something that a lot of us in society have an issue with. You know, we have problems and we see things going on, but we don't focus on the solutions, and then we'll focus on the problem and then never get to the solution. And so what we wanted to do today was really just straight fire for 30 minutes talking about the solutions to issues facing black men in America. And so what it's going to look like is simply we have some topics that we want to discuss, and we just want to talk about solutions for those problems. Straightforward, no games, and that's how it's going down. It's a really funny thing, because as a black man in America, you face a lot of different challenges. And, of course, black women face a lot of the same challenges. So with that being said, this show is in no slight to black women and our sisters at all. But we are looking at, you know, the way to rebuild the black community, in our personal opinion, is starting with the men. And this show is going to be based upon that. And the first solution that I want to talk about and that we want to get into is something that I think would really go a long way in terms of helping our people. And the reason I say that is because we have so many black men in jail and incarcerated right now. Incarcerated for small drug crimes, incarcerated for a long time, and some in juvenile justice or what have you. And a lot of those brothers are going to be released at some point in time. And the problem is it's always once they get released, what happens to them, right? And so one of the things that I've really been thinking about recently is something that I really want to get into, and I'm going to get into, is volunteering at prisons, volunteering at juvenile youth centers, because a lot of those dudes need to see positive images of brothers doing something that they know that they can do. And I really feel like that's something that I can do personally right now that will really change the landscape of what we have going on as a people. And there are several, you know, young guys that I mentor personally, and I take great pride in that. But however, I think the true value is in mentoring and working with and being encouraging for people that you don't know. So, for example, going to a youth center and a juvenile justice center and seeing a brother that's like 16 or 17 that still has a ton of life ahead of him, still has everything going for him, but just fell into some hard times or what have you. And somebody needs to go in there and talk to that brother and encourage him and let him know that once he gets out, that there's still an opportunity for him to make something of himself, that there is an opportunity for him to get back in society and be productive. And I think we don't take time out to do that, myself included. So I'm not saying that this is on anybody else. I'm taking personal accountability for that, because I tend to work with the people that I know or that are close to me. For example, I have a couple friends who have sons that I mentor and that I work with, and I'll go hang out at the park with and things of that sort. But I know these people, and I think the true value is in going to help people that you have no connection to, naturally no invested interest in, other than the fact that you share this commonality, which is the fact that we're all black men facing the same struggle of white supremacy and institutional racism that keeps us in these roles that we're in. And so I wanted to pop it off like that. Well, that's something that I see as a solution that I can do personally right now to help some brothers that need help and that would really appreciate it, because a lot of them are in jail or in these places and nobody's coming to visit them. They feel like nobody cares. And it's up to people like me, you, and other brothers that have that heart to do so, to go about doing so and looking out for those brothers. What do you think about that, man?
I think that's awesome, because one of the major things that happens with brothers, man, they lose that sense of hope and they start feeling like no one cares. You know what I mean? It's like you get to the point where brothers, and again, we know people like this from friends, family members that have been incarcerated, and they get to that point where they've been in the system so long, they feel like they're just cut off from society. And when they do try to get acclimated back into society, they don't even know where to start. You know, it's like they try and they kind of bump their head. And when they bump their head, they don't have that support system to kind of get them through it. They just go back into crime because that's become kind of like their support. That becomes all they know. And you want to go ahead and break that cycle. And something that I want to get into to kind of help shape some of the situations that kind of affect black men in America, something that you mentioned, bro, kind of just piggybacking off that a little bit, so many of our brothers are incarcerated. And so many of our brothers, so that leads to a bunch of children being raised by single moms and single parents. And as a product of a single parent, I know the value of a good mentor. And it's not necessarily just an uncle or a family member. It's just somebody on the block that took a moment to kind of show us something other than selling drugs, or show us something other than gambling, or something that'll get us nowhere. It's like I take pride in knowing that there was multiple people in my life that I had no blood relative, that weren't blood, weren't anything, that went out of their way to show me, hey, man, y'all just over there throwing rocks at the DOT. This is kind of funny, kind of random, but the schoolcraft, if you're in Detroit, the schoolcraft bus used to come up and down. We used to sit in the alley and throw rocks at the bus. Just because.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, y'all was bad, man.
We were just throwing rocks at the bus and running, but that was kind of stupid. But, you know, older brothers in the neighborhood would be like, yo, man, get out of that. They would go out of their way to find stuff for us to do, whether it was just getting us involved in playing football or getting us to play basketball, stuff like that. And, again, it's something simple, man. You see the little homies outside, and you want to do something for them. If you can't just buy them a basketball hoop, make yourself available to them, man. Show them something to do that's a little bit more constructive. Go get a basketball. Go buy a $10 football. Let the little homies throw it around. Do something. Instead of just letting them occupy their time and causing chaos. Because just being out in the streets and being a part of the streets, that's how you kind of pick up a lot of the street life. You know what I'm saying? Just being out there, sooner or later, the dudes that are involved in that stuff kind of gravitate to you once they see that you have nothing else going on. You know what I mean? When people see that you're just not like a knucklehead or something like that, you kind of avoid a lot of those problems. Because a lot of our kids, man, they get caught up in gangs and violence and stuff because they have nothing else to do. And we got to take a look at that, man, just think about our communities and how we can just go ahead and just make ourselves available to young brothers. If there's a recreation center or something around, get people to ride there, man. Walk the little homies there. Do something to them. Because it's like it's a situation where these kids have moms that they can't. They get to that point where their moms can't reach them, and they need that male figure. And again, it doesn't have to be anything super drawn out, anything spectacular. Just give the little homie something to do, and anybody can do that. Because again, it's like I grew up in an area where people didn't really have money, but yo, the older guys, they just found activities. They would just throw us a ball. I promise. You just walk in a neighborhood, you give five boys a football, they will start a game. They will play something. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like you just got to make yourself available. And I think it starts with us to just kind of taking ownership in that. It's like, yeah, they're not your kids, whatever. That's cool, but that don't mean you can't be a part of your community, because it does take a village to raise a child. That's like one of the truest things ever. And when you kind of take ownership in your neighborhood, take ownership in your community, and you let guys know, man, hey, I'm not a weirdo. I'm not about to try to mess with you. I'm just trying to, you know, here, have some fun, go play. And that keeps kids in the street. And you know what happens? As they grow up, they take that initiative as well. Because I know from the guys that helped me, the guys that kind of gave us opportunities, gave us something to do instead of just running around acting crazy, that seed is implanted in me. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to do that for kids when I see kids doing nothing. You're like, y'all, what are y'all doing, man? Like, what are y'all doing just sitting around looking stupid? That's how y'all get in trouble. Let me help y'all find something to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
It's an easy process, and anybody can do it. That costs little to no money. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it simple, man, and just make yourself available to people. We have to get rid of that, oh, man, I'm just minding my own business mentality. It's cool to be in your lane, but at the same time, man, the community is yours, and you got to be willing to help the people in your community. You can't be afraid of
it. Yeah, I think that's a valid point because a lot of times it's really easy to feel like mentoring is going to the Boys and Girls Club, which it is, but it's structured. And a lot of the kids that really need us aren't at the Boys and Girls Club, right? A lot of the kids that need us are, and a lot of the young brothers that could really use our guidance aren't in those facilities. They're actually the guys that are literally hanging out on the street corner or doing whatever and having that, you know, the guts and the willingness to walk up to those brothers and be like, look, man, you know, let me holler at you. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's a really good point. And that kind of really piggybacks into what I want to talk about next, because it's absolutely important. And that is talking to young brothers that you know and that you come in contact with about the value of education. It's funny because in TNJ Radio, solution-based radio, y'all know how we do it. It's funny because when I was coming up, man, like nobody talked to me about school. Like if I didn't want to go to school, I didn't have to go to school. Nobody ever said, Trav, you know, get your butt up out that bed and go to school. Like that was just not the case. And I think one of the things that we need to do is when we have the opportunity and just sitting around kicking it with young brothers to talk to them about their goals and aspirations, to talk to them about what they see themselves being in 5 years, where they see themselves being in 10 years, and so forth and so on. Because regardless of whether we believe it or not, you can really plant that seed. And I find myself a lot of the times, and I do it with my nephew a lot, and once again, this is a fault of mine. I do it with people that are close to me, and I do it with people that aren't close to me, but for the most part, people that are in my inner circle where I really try and breathe the life and story of the importance of education into them so that they understand that that's the key to getting where you want to be, whether that be a formal education at a university, whether that be a trade, whatever the case may be, because I'm a staunch component of college isn't for everybody. For one, everybody walk up out of there with about 100 bands in student loan debt. So I'm not going to say go do that. But in order to, unfortunately, make it in this white man world, you have to have that education or have that skilled trade or have something. But we'll sit around with young brothers and then just not talk to them about anything in particular. We'll just sit there and hang out with them and talk about girls or talk about silly stuff like that. And so I think that we really need to take the time to, when we have those opportunities, to say, hey, man, you know, what's your favorite subject? You know, what? And then once they tell you what's their favorite subject, well, what could you see yourself doing with that? You know, have you ever thought about the long-term prospects of getting in that field? You know, do you know what the financial ramifications are of getting in that field? Obviously, you probably wouldn't be able to say it to them like that because they wouldn't understand what you're saying. But really sitting down and taking the time when you had an opportunity, and it doesn't even have to be a 20-minute lecture. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that's really drawn out, but continuously piquing their interest and letting them know that being smart is cool. Going to school is a good thing. You get caught up in that cycle. Or I remember when I was going to Cody, going to school was whack. You know, get like being the smart dude in the class, like if you was the brother in the class that was getting a good grade, you got made fun of. And so what we need to do is to reverse that thought process and tell young brothers, like, actually being the smart dude in the class is a really good thing, as opposed to you a dork or you lame because you actually know how to break down this algebra or you know how to you know, work with these chemicals in this biology class or whatever the case may be. And I think that that's something that we really don't take the time to do as much as we need to. And I'm speaking specifically to older black men, you know, adults, because at the end of the day, we're the ones that are going to be responsible for what happens to this next generation. Just like we say generations before us failed us, we are in a position to where the exact same thing is going to happen, where we are going to ultimately end up failing a generation of young black men. And I feel like as long as we can take time out of our schedule to do that when we have the opportunity to do so, it would go an extremely long way in terms of building that trust between black men, helping black men trust other black men, because that's one of the main things as well, is we don't trust each other. So when you breathe life into a brother, you are engaging and creating that trust factor. And then from there, you start to really build a relationship, and then they start to trust other black men, and then you have this snowball effect that becomes major for our community and for the future of our existence, and most importantly, the future of the black family and the black woman. So it all kind of is you know, interlinked, and that's what I will offer. What say you, man?
My next thing, bro, will be something simple and something we've talked about. It's all about us setting a standard, man. Our strength as men, and with raising kings and raising men, they watch everything that we do. And one of the most important things that we all need to improve, especially within our culture, is our respect for women. We have to change that. When I think about myself and I think about us growing up, I grew up around people that all I saw was people disrespecting women. Guys with multiple women, guys bringing multiple mm-hmm. women around their kids, guys mm-hmm. disrespecting that. So when I got older and I saw friends with, as I got older, I got to college, I started seeing how different people live, and I'm dating girls with active fathers that treat their mother well, and they respect their wives, it's just like, wow, you know what I'm
right.
saying? It's like that really made me take a step back, because I never saw that before. And we got to understand, like you said, it's cool to be smart, it's cool to respect your woman. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to...
It actually is.
Like, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're in a culture where it's become so acceptable to disrespect your woman, refer to her by derogatory terms, and disrespect her and yell at her in front of people. It's up to us to set that standard, man. We got to be the guys to not fail. We can't fail this generation by letting them think that this is okay. It's up to us to set that standard. To respect your woman, man. Don't yell at your woman. Don't disrespect your woman. You know, it's like that stuff isn't cool. And I'm far from perfect. I've learned a lot of life lessons. You know what I'm saying? But it's like we know better now. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's up to us to kind of show that next generation that that's not cool, that yelling at your woman isn't cool, and disrespect to your woman isn't cool. Because, again, the young brothers coming up behind us, they see that. It's like that Lupe song. Be bad. It's like he's talking about that. It's like he sees you being good at being not like his mother. It's like you listen to that song. Like, I recommend anybody check that song out. And it's the perfect parallel to that. Young brothers grow up thinking that, yo, it's cool for me to look at you like this. It's cool for me to look at you like a not good woman. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's cool for me to disrespect you. And it's up to us to shake that. It's like we got to be the leaders. We got to be in the forefront of that, man. We got to show that it's cool to, you know, show your woman love, be loving in front of her, be loving in front of other people. Like, guys need that, man, because, again, it's like we grow up, we don't know how to show love to people. We don't. We don't know how to tell our family members that we love them. You know
right,
what I mean? It's
right.
like that's something
that's
that we 100. Don't know how to do. Like, culturally, man, we suck at that, and we got to shake that. Everybody got to be hard all the time. Forget that, man. Show some emotion. Show love. And be a giver, man. When you give love, I swear that comes back. And before I even get on my vibes tip, that's just like what it is. I'll win on that. But I promise, man, when you give love, when you give that positive vibe, you give that good energy out, it always comes back, bro. And that's in every realm of life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's a really good point. Like, positive energy, you know what I'm saying, breathes positive energy. And so that's one of the things that we struggle with culturally, and I would agree 100%. I think I'll jump into like my next solution that I will offer in terms of how we can shape and reshape the view and the way we operate as black men is being okay with being an individual. Because a lot of times, and you can look at music, you can look at, you know, all type of outside factors, but it's really easy to feel like you want to be a part of a clique or you need to be associated with a certain type of individual or individuals for that matter. And it's really difficult for us to be who we are. But you, I swear to goodness, man, you have to become comfortable with being who you are in order to have the change and the impact on the world and our community in particular, if that's what you really want to do. I remember, man, it was so many times where growing up, I felt bad for being a nice guy. You feel what I'm saying? And real talk, I was holding pistols. I was just doing crazy stuff because I wasn't comfortable being like the good guy in the neighborhood. Because if you was the good guy in the neighborhood, then, you know, cats might have picked on you. You might have, you know, you might have got looked at funny. Of course you was going to get called gay or something like that, right? And so being comfortable with being an individual is so key because all of us have gifts that have been given to us by God, and we all have these wonderful quirks and ways about us that we can use to affect change in a positive way, but we're so afraid to just step out and be who we are that almost gets smothered. It doesn't manifest itself, and so it winds up falling by the wayside because you're so afraid to just be exactly who you were made to be. And I remember the exact moment when I decided that, you know what, I'm just going to be the person that I am. All right, I'm a sensitive dude. Okay, I care about people. I care about black people. I care about everybody in general. But when you talk about, like, where my primary focus is, it's on black people. I mean, that's only because that's who I grew up around. That's who I feel is the most disadvantaged group of people on the face of the earth. And I'm one of them, and I get treated like every other black person does. And for our brothers, you know, we got to have the newest gear. We have to have this. We have to have that. And that points to a lack of, you know, self-love and the lack of or the inability to be yourself and be comfortable being yourself. And it's really difficult to do when you hang out with a lot of people that are acting a certain way and getting attention for acting a certain way, and then you don't get that same attention because you don't act like that. So, for example, if you act like, you know, a thug or whatever a thug is, I don't even really know what that means, but if you act like a tough guy or whatever, and then women are attracted to that, because most of the time, let's keep it extra 100, like, brothers do basically everything they do to attract women, right? I mean, let's just be real.
Everything.
And so... And so you fall into this trap of, like, doing these things that you think other people are doing because that's what's going to attract women, that's what's going to make you popular. But at the end of the day, you aren't being true to yourself and you're not being true to the person that you were made to be. And then you wind up not having an impact on the community and helping out in the way that you should, because at the end of the day, we were made to be selfless beings, and whatever you do for other people comes back to you. And I firmly believe that. And so my solution in this instance is to be comfortable and work on being comfortable being the individual that you are, regardless to what's going on around you, whatever your outside influences are. What say you, man? What you got?
My last thing is probably my favorite thing, and it goes back into something that you mentioned a few seconds ago, talking about the lack of self-love. We need to teach and emphasize empowerment and strength. That's one of the major things. We have to shake the fake confidence that we have within our culture. We have to teach each other and help motivate each other, man, and just kind of empower each other. All that unnecessary negative self-talk that we give each other, and just like some straight snapping and dissing, yeah, that stuff is funny. It was cool. It had its place, especially like with older dudes in the neighborhood, just kind of Jesus. We got to shake that. We got to get to the point where we're all empowering each other, telling each other, hey, man, that's what you want to do, little homie, go ahead, you can do it. These are the ways you can do it. We got to start being more positive and just uplifting with each other. Becoming more, just teaching empowerment, man. It's like the negative energy has done so much more to us because of the level of self-hate that's been ingrained in us generationally. It's like we teach so much negativity to our to ourselves, man. It's kind, it's just crippled us. And we just got to shake that. We got to get to the point where everything we do is to empower one another, uplifting one another. That's the next step for us. It's like as we get that, man, there won't be any hate. Because I want to know why, because we want to see everybody win. It's like my man Money Mitch said, everybody eats, B. You want everybody to eat. You want everybody to do that. When everybody feels everybody's happy. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you got everybody on the same page. I swear, man, Trap get promoted, I get excited. I'm excited for him. You know what I'm saying? It's like my bro was winning, I'm excited. Because I don't know why.
Hold up, though. Just like today. Prime example this morning. When we when I was going to work, me and you do basically the same thing, but for different types of companies, right?
Yeah.
I send you a text telling you, I forgot what it was, but it was something to the effect of get that money or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Empowering each other.
It's a natural flow. It's a natural vibe, man. And it's we encourage each other like that. That stuff is contagious. Like no joke. It was like the other day, I was waiting on a contract. Trav just made something happen. Trav texts me, like, yo, let's get this bread. I forgot what he said, man. Within moments. You know what I'm saying? That contract comes in. We're excited. Want to know why? Because we enjoy seeing each other win. And I'm like that with not just Trav, but all of my bros. Because I like seeing my boys win. It's like when I break bread with my friends, I want to see them be successful. Because, again, how can you not be excited for somebody that you genuinely care about? You know what I'm saying? If you care about your people, you want them to do good, and we have to create that type of bond, that kind of connection throughout our circle and within our community, because that's what a real community is. It's like everyone works together. Everyone succeeds together.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%. You know, that you know, I'll wrap up on that because that encouragement and, you know, that being able to breathe positivity into each other is our – is the overall solution. Being able to be happy for each other, being able to say, man, Wells, go make that sale, bro. Or if you tell me you made the sale, I'm jumping through the roof for you. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm excited for you. And I think that's something that we have to do. And we can do that right now. Like, that's something you can practice. You don't have to be an expert at it, but you can practice it and work on it right now. Anyway, with that being said, the show is coming to an end. We appreciate you all listening. We appreciate the viewership going up and the listenership going up. And keep supporting us, and we'll keep putting the positivity in the atmosphere. As you know, TNJ Radio, solution-based radio. And as we tell you every week, man, God is love. Take care of yourself.